testing in schools has gotten a bad rap among some education pundits. Their critique, it drags down morale for students and teachers, and it's bad for learning.
But our next guest reports that testing done the right way can improve comprehension and memory retention and help teachers make sure kids understand what they're learning. The crux, according to some researchers, we could maybe use more testing, not less. Jessica Leahy joins us now. She writes about teaching and parenting for The Atlantic and The New York Times. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, as we mentioned, frequent testing in schools has gotten a bad rep for some people studying education and education policy. Why do you think that is?
Well, rightly so. I mean, I think that testing, the large standardized testing that's it's called summative testing. It's looking at a snapshot of what students can do and maybe what teachers are doing and what schools have done. It's a kind of testing that, you know, puts a big burden on schools in terms of time. It takes time away from the classroom. And that's definitely not the kind of testing that I was talking about in the article in encouraging more testing.
So the research that you write about is showing that certain kinds of testing can have a big upside. First, as you just mentioned, it's a particular kind of testing. What works according to this research?
As opposed to summative testing, which is, you know, you get to the end of a unit and you look to see what the students have learned or hopefully have learned. This is called formative testing, and this is testing that you do in order to find out where the gaps are, maybe as a teacher, where you need to go next in order to double back, in order to clarify. It takes a lot more work on the teacher's part, and it takes flexibility, but the research of Dr. Roediger at Washington University has shown that this kind of testing actually improves memory and learning because the act of calling up those things that you have hopefully learned and even trying to grasp around for the things that you haven't quite learned yet will reinforce the memories in your brain much better than testing once at the end or studying more.
So I'm a student and I've just finished a unit on, say, long division. I get a test, it shows that I don't understand it, and then we move on to decimal points or something like that. So
Right. The
argument is, A, there's no room to fix what I didn't know because we were already moving on, and B, that wasn't necessarily the best way to evaluate me in the first place.
Absolutely, and learning is cumulative. I mean, the nice thing about learning is that as long as you have hooks or as long as you have sticky places in your memory to hang the new bits of information, you know, learning is pretty much unlimited. You can learn as much as you want as long as you have a framework to hang it on. But in algebra, for example, if you never learned how to use the quadratic formula, then moving on to the next unit is going to be a big problem for you because you don't have that knowledge to hang the new stuff on.
So that would foil our efforts to learn quadratic equations. Math joke, sorry. So are schools trying to implement these different kinds of testing, or is this research just kind of out there and not being used?
Well, after I wrote the piece in The Atlantic, many teachers commented that they said, well, duh, we knew that. And I said, well, you know, I commented back to one, actually, and I said, well, many teachers understand that assessment of kids or testing kids is a process that you do. We check in with our students every day. We check to make sure, you know, that they're doing well at home. And all those little check-ins on the knowledge as we're going through the class every single day is part of this formative assessment. But the problem is that people misunderstand and think, oh, tests equal bad, because we're hearing so much in the news about testing being negative for schools, negative for students. I was just interested in the distinction between testing with a capital T, the standardized testing, and this process of the informal formative assessments that teachers do every single day, and making it clear that those are actually really great. Quizzes are fantastic. You know, smaller tests on a more frequent basis are really great for learning. Those large summative tests, maybe not so much.
So the science is saying, you've read it, you've done the lessons, maybe you've done some drills if we're talking about math or spelling, but it actually helps our brain to be tested on it and try to recall, maybe not in a high-stakes environment, with a low-stress environment. It helps our brains to access it, and then when we access it, we're more prone to remember it?
Absolutely, and it turns out that in Dr. Roediger's research, he also found that if you get tested on something, you're a lot less likely to lose that short-term memory information. It turns out that cramming, shoving things into your short-term memory, and trying to get through the test the next day it works on a limited basis, but the problem is that you forget it promptly, because when you shove all that stuff in your short-term memory, you're not really solidifying it in memory. So if you do a few quizzes or you do some flashcards or you have your parent quiz you, that information, the process of retrieving what's sitting there in your short-term memory, is going to actually work to solidify it in longer-term memory.
Let's talk about maybe some benefits of the other kinds of testing that's getting a bad rap. At the end of a semester, at the end of a school year, part of what the school wants to know is Rob ready to move on to the next grade? Isn't there some value in that kind of end-of-the-year testing?
We're talking about a spectrum here. If I do, for example, in my Latin class, if I do a test at the end of the semester or the end of the term or the end of the unit to find out if you've learned the 25 vocabulary words I asked you to learn last week, that's one thing. But the large standardized tests that are being given, administered by states, what you're asking those tests to do is to look at a school's effectiveness or a teacher's effectiveness over a huge amount of material in a very, very small format, even though those tests feel, incredibly long. Really, in terms of what you're trying to test, it's a very small sampling. So when I'm talking about tests being bad, I'm not talking about like the unit tests or the semester tests that a teacher gives you. I'm talking about the standardized tests that are really trying to pit one school against the other or gauge how a school's effectiveness as a learning institution.
Seems like there's a fundamental philosophical question here. Is a test a tool for evaluation, or is a test a tool for learning?
Well, a lot of teachers, one of the other big issues with the article was that, some teachers are saying, well, testing is really besides the point. If we're really testing for mastery, what we should be asking students to do is actively demonstrate knowledge. And again, back to Dr. Roediger's research, he found that, a multiple choice test actually, has some limited ability to help you remember things, but what's really great is something like an essay. If you have to write about what you learned, if you have to spell it out in words and re-explain it, as any teacher will tell you, the way to really learn something is to teach it to someone else. A method I use a lot in my classroom, because in order to be able to teach it to someone else, you have to know it backwards and forwards and be able to recall and think of it in new ways. So, that idea of an essay or reteaching it, grab a little sibling and teach them about, some moment in history that you have to learn for your history class. That would be the best way to get prepared for a test.
You touched on this briefly earlier, but as you're talking, the word that keeps popping into my head is workload. It's very easy to take a fill-in-the-bubble Scantron test, run it through the machine, and get the grade.
Yep.
All these things sound more time-consuming. Are schools, do they have the resources, the person power to do this?
I think, as I mentioned before, formative teaching is a teaching to what your students know and being flexible for the future. It does take more time. It takes more planning, and it takes, like I said, a lot more flexibility. And when we're, having a curriculum put on a teacher, say you have to teach everything in this curriculum in this very limited period of time, yeah, that's a lot to ask for a teacher. But for a teacher that values teaching to mastery, it really is the best way to go. And if you look at the studies, actually teaching this way, you can get a lot more done because you're not having to constantly go back and say, oh, man, we did that 4 weeks ago. I really have to go over that again for you and take all that time out of class to redo what should have been done right in the first place.
Who would have to take the lead on this? It could come from the schools, I guess, but there are federal and state mandates requiring the standardized testing.
Mm-hmm.
That's taking some of the time away that might be used for the learning type testing that we're talking about. Who do we look to make a change like this?
Well, I think part of it has to happen in teacher training. If Dr. Roediger's research, he has a book coming out in April actually called Make It Stick, that really is a culmination of a lot of his research. That kind of information, if that's conveyed to teachers early on and teachers can understand that this process is really more effective than trying to do a big net and hope that you get all the kids the first time around, that is really going to help new teachers get out there knowing how to get at this the right way and how to teach the right way in a formative way instead of a summative way and then having to repeat all your efforts when you miss a few kids, because you always do, because every kid is different.
Right. But again, the teachers have some room for initiative here. The schools do, but they're working in these federal guidelines. Do they have room to do this, given that they've got to prepare for the state and national educational tests and, to some extent, teach to those tests for the good of their schools?
Well, I think you can still teach to those tests, but you can do that in a way that is more effective in the teaching phase, in the phase of, okay, we're going to talk about X today, and then at the end of that class, give a little quick 5-minute quiz on X. What did we learn today? Write down, give me a paragraph about the most important things you think we learned today. It takes 5 minutes at the end of each class, and it's a really good way to sort of get that short-term memory to a place where it's going to stick a little bit longer.
You mentioned some of the reaction to your article was in the duh camp. Some people are already doing this. What else have you heard? Are people saying, I love this idea, I hate this idea? What kind of things are you hearing?
I think the nice thing about it with some teachers is that they say, yes, this is what I've been doing, but I didn't have really words to put to it, either because they weren't really taught about this sort of assessment in the first place, or it's just something that some really good teachers can do naturally, just kind of makes sense once you start doing it. The feedback has been really fantastic. There's been a lot of administrators who have taken this article into their teacher meetings this week and said, you know, let's think about this, because one of the functions of the weekly teacher meeting is to get people thinking about ways to teach better. And that's one of the great things about, you know, my job is I get to research ideas and put them out there and hopefully start some discussion on them just like this.
Any thoughts from parents in the reaction you've heard?
You know what? The parents have also been really supportive, because one of the things that they're now able to do is say, okay, well, let's do flashcards instead of sending my kid off to his room and rereading that French chapter three times, because that's the way students usually do it. And in fact, in this research, that was the control, is they had students just reread and reread and reread the same material over and over again. And why would you want to spend 2 hours doing that when you could have a much more effective 20-minute flashcard session? It really could save a lot of time for students in the end.
Jessica, thanks so much for joining us.
You're so welcome.
That's Jessica Leahy. She covers teaching and parenting for The Atlantic, where she just wrote a piece about the role of testing in schools.